Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and this is the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. Meet the characters involved, hear their stories and find some insight to help us all get faster on our bikes. This week's episode is supported by Cushcore and we're going to be talking to the inventor and main man, Adam Crefton. Without our supporting partners, I wouldn't be able to keep bringing you this podcast for free. It really is the only way that I can continue to do this for you. So huge thanks to Cushcore on this occasion and everyone who supported us so far. You can find out more about Cushcore over at cushcore.com. All right, just a quick bit of admin before we get stuck into this week's episode. All the links that we mentioned in our episodes are in the show notes, which you can find on our website, downtimepodcast.com. There, you'll also find a subscribe page to help you subscribe to the podcast and to join our newsletter. That means you'll get each episode delivered to your device automatically as soon as it's available, and we'll keep you up to date with what's going on with the show. If you want to help support what we're doing, then you can grab a t-shirt, hoodie, a sweatshirt or a mug over on our web store at downtimepodcast.com/shop. You can also support us in non-financial ways too by telling your friends about the podcast, leaving reviews on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on, and by sharing our episodes on your own social media channels. We've only been able to get to this point thanks to your support, so it really does mean a lot to me. Keep it going. Also, don't forget to give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast. Right, time for this week's episode. We sit down for a chat with the founder and inventor of Cushcore, Adam Crefton. We're going to talk about the opportunity that tyre inflation systems provide to really improve the performance of our bikes and to enable us to ride faster and with more control in rough terrain. We'll find out more about what it takes to develop a product like that, how it actually works, and what makes it different from the many other tyre inserts that are available. I think what they've done with Cushcore is really cool. I've been riding it myself and have been super impressed. So without further ado, here's Adam Crefton. Adam Crefton, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. Thanks for taking time out of your day to come on.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure. So we're going to spend some time today getting into the detail and the nitty-gritty of tyre suspension systems. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about your personal background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been mountain biking since the beginning. I grew up in Seattle and I've been riding and racing since I was a kid. Always loved mountain biking and mountain bikes in particular, the technical side of it since the beginning. I remember as a kid seeing John Tomac and Brian Lopes race at the Snoqualmie Ski Resort outside of Seattle and staying up late reading Mountain Bike Action magazine in my bedroom. A little bit later, I got into frame building when I was in high school. I did an internship working with a frame builder in Seattle. I eventually made it up to the junior expert class in both cross country and downhill. And, I was one of the early converts to the full suspension bike revolution when that first started, So I had my first full suspension bike was one of the Alpine Stars. And I'm not sure if any of your listeners will even remember that bike, but it was a pretty wild one. It had, I believe, 2.25 inches of travel in the rear. Later, I moved to Colorado. I attended college in Colorado, and there I got into more technical riding. They have just a totally different riding style in Colorado versus the Northwest. And in particular, some of the areas I liked were Palmer Park in Colorado Springs, Fruta, Moab, and of course some of the Alpine single track all through the high mountains there. And now that I live in Bend, I just kind of seek out the gravity oriented backcountry riding. I love corners in particular, so anything twisty is kind of my favorite. I didn't get into moto until much later in life. So my parents wouldn't allow me to have a motorcycle. So I had to wait until I was 25 and had a job and the money to afford my own bike. But then, after I did get a moto, I just got totally obsessed with it. So I basically stopped doing anything else in my life and just did moto full time. Started racing and eventually made it to the AA class, that's like the local pro equivalent by the time I was 30. I think what makes me different from the other riders is I've always been a tinkerer and I worked on my bike a lot, and in particular the suspension and the tire setup. And that really laid the groundwork for me to get started with Crefmoto and later Cushcore.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Cref Moto then. What is it you do with that business?
So Cref Moto modifies suspension components for KTM dirt bikes. We specialize in the WP suspension brand that comes on the KTMs and Husqvarnas. And we're known for being a little different than most of the suspension houses in that we take more of an engineering or scientific approach to tuning. So we have a lot of equipment to measure the performance gains and really try to understand what's happening with the suspension and use that understanding to decide how to modify it. And over the years, we've become known for these sort of complex, comprehensive re-engineering solutions for the WP components, rather than just, you know, kind of your basic revalve shop. We try to find those inherent limitations in the stock components and then replace some of the key parts on the internals to make them work in a different way. And that, you know, it allows us to do things that you can't do with a basic revalve. And that, you know, that approach is kind of what's allowed Cref Moto to establish itself where it has in the community.
Yeah, awesome. So suspension tuning has been a huge part of your life then for quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Cref Moto started off with just me in the garage, right? It was tiny. It took a long time to build up to where we are now. I guess it's been 7 years. And for a lot of that time, you know, I was doing everything myself and just revalving my bike like every day, basically, and experimenting with different valving configurations and different ideas for improved parts. And I would install a new setting or a new part in my garage in Durango, Colorado, and then run up to my nearest test location at Hermosa Creek and ride my loop there and just try to identify subjectively what was worth it and what wasn't worth it, and do the same thing for all my competitors, you know, ride their work and see where it was better and where it was worse, and just try to identify the aspects that made the suspension better all around, not just better in one particular aspect at the expense of other performance aspects.
Yeah, interesting. So what kind of, I guess if you're just a tinkerer, then it was natural that you're going to start doing similar with the mountain bike side of things. But when did you start playing around with that?
Well, you know, I haven't done mountain bike suspension in the same way that I did dirt bike suspension. So we don't offer suspension services for mountain bikes, but I've always been really interested in tires because they offer such an incredible performance improvement opportunity. I mean, for the money, there's really nothing else that compares. That the tires can change the performance of a bike so much, and they can do it in a way that no other component on the bike can do. You know, you can upgrade your suspension fork or your shock, and you can see a bit of an improvement. But if you change your tires or change your inflation systems or your pressure, you can totally transform the way that the bike feels, and it's quick and easy and inexpensive to do that. So, you know, tires are an essential part of the overall suspension system. And I mean, it's impossible in my mind to tune suspension without also looking at the tires.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So, yeah, starting from the basics then, I guess, can you explain how a normal kind of, let's just take a standard tubeless tire system on a mountain bike, how is that working? What's it doing and how does it interact with the suspension and the rider?
Yeah, totally. So if you look at an engineering drawing of a vehicle, it actually shows two suspension systems. You know, one is the chassis-based suspension like our fork and our shock, and the other is the tire. So it's universally acknowledged that that's a part of the suspension system. And beyond that, I think it really also includes all the other components in between, the wheel, the way that the frame flexes, and even the stem and the handlebars. And all that stuff adds up to what we really experience on the bike. The tire is like the first link in that chain, right? It's the thing that contacts the obstacle first. And because of that, it has some major inherent advantages over the suspension fork or shock. So if you consider what happens when you strike a bump, with a suspension fork, the entire wheel and tire, the brakes, the fork lowers, all that stuff has to accelerate up and over the bump in order for it to absorb the impact. And that requires this counterbalancing force that the weight of the chassis and the rider have to provide. And what that means is that you're going to feel the impact. There's no way around that. But with the tire, only this tiny little section of the tread patch actually has to move. So the ratio of the unsprung weight that's moving in response to the bump to the sprung weight that remains stable over the bump is it's much more favorable. And the tire can just respond instantly to a bump in a way that the suspension can't. So it's really, it really has this tremendous advantage on the sharp, high frequency, really high velocity impacts that the chassis suspension isn't naturally good at. You know, a fork and a shock are better at the big hits, and the tire is better at the small, fast hits.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so in a standard tubeless system, I guess, that tire is just an air volume with some kind of casing stiffness that gives it its properties and the way it reacts. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, exactly. So in a bicycle tire, because the casing is so thin, like compared to a car tire or a motorcycle tire, it's basically a rubber ball. You know, it's this thin elastic casing filled with compressed air. And it functions as an air spring. So it has no damping, and I'd say it's essentially equivalent to a playground ball. So it's no wonder that they're constantly bouncing and rebounding off of obstacles, right? We just don't notice it because we're used to that feeling. What we really would like is for the tire to stay attached to the ground, to absorb and dissipate the energy of impacts and control the tire rebound speed so that it doesn't bounce us off of the obstacles when we strike them. But everybody they're used to that feeling of the elastic tire. And, you know, that characteristic is good in some ways, like it gives us a lively feel and low rolling resistance. But the more the tire casing bends and deflects, the more negative effects that elastic character has. So, you know, in an ideal world, what we'd like is a tire that is elastic and lively on the small deflections, but provides more damping on the larger impacts and the more the tire casing flexes.
Yeah. Okay. I guess it's effectively an uncontrolled part of the suspension. Yeah. We spend a huge amount of money on forks and shocks with good damping in there so that we can control that. But the tire is effectively uncontrolled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, any suspension system in a car, a motorcycle, a bicycle, whatever, it has two essential components. There's the spring and the damper. So you need the spring to support the load, but you need the damper to control those oscillations, to dissipate the impact force and control rebound. And the tire just doesn't have a damper. So with if you can imagine riding on a mountain bike that had full suspension but no dampers, just an air spring, it's like a pogo stick, right? It would be nearly impossible to ride. And that's what our tires are. We haven't thought about that very much until just recently. So I think people haven't realized the potential advantage of having a proper suspension system in the tire.
Yeah. Okay. How long ago was it that you kind of started thinking about this and started tinkering?
It was in 2014. I was living in Texas at the time. My wife was in grad school there in Austin. And I had just been playing with a lot of different tire inflation systems for my motorcycle. And they have the exact same problems that the mountain bikes have. You know, there are tubeless kits that convert you from a tube type to tubeless, similar to what we have in mountain bikes. And there are bib mousses, which are full foam inserts, and a variety of other weird ideas that they're all trying to fix some problem, right? But none of them are really perfect. They all have some Achilles heel or some drawback that makes them not quite right. So I had been experimenting with the tubeless kits and bib mousses and various different types of inner tubes and different tires and pressures. And, you know, I realized there was a lot to be gained there, but none of the inflation systems really did it quite right. So I had just been sitting on this problem for a long time and eventually had this idea of the basic shape of Cush core and the basic properties of the material. So we wanted to have the top of the tire have this inflatable, tunable air patch so it would retain that lively, elastic, resilient feel. But the bottom of the tire, more like a bib mousse in the motorcycle, so something that would stabilize the base of the tire and provide a progressive damping force as the tire casing flexed more. And, you know, once that idea popped into my head, I just started prototyping it.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. How did you go about that then? Tell us a little bit about the development process that you went through.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was really crude. I was just cutting out these rough shapes with a hacksaw out of bun foam. And that bun EVA is, you know, it's kind of what you see in some of the other products now. It just comes in a big slab and you kind of slice it out or machine it out. So I had these fairly rough shapes, but they were good enough to approximate, you know, what I was trying to accomplish. I would cut them out and then glue them into a ring. And those early prototypes couldn't maintain the radial tension that the molded product that we use now can do. So it didn't have quite the same level of sidewall support, but it was enough to make a big difference. And I certainly noticed it right away.
Yeah. What were your first impressions then when you got something that you were kind of semi-happy with at least? How did it feel?
Well, it was really the first time I used it. I just made one and put it in the front tire. I was at my local testing area, Emalong Park in Austin. And in the first corner, it was immediately obvious. I knew it was going to be a big thing as soon as I rode it. It just had a level of traction and control that was superior to any other tire setup that I had tried. And I've been trying a lot lately. So, you know, I knew it was going to work right away. And from that point, it was really just a process of refinement. You know, picking the right material took 2 years, basically, to find the right material and the right manufacturing method. Getting the profile, the shape of the insert just right to kind of maximize the performance and minimize weight. So all those little details just took a while, took a couple of years until we were finally ready to launch the product.
Yeah. All right. Take us through a couple of those details in a bit more detail. So maybe start off with the shape. Like what is it that you were looking for and how does the shape give you that?
Yeah, totally. So here's the problem is that we want the insert to press laterally against the bottom part of the tire to provide that stability. That's really important. But we also want the top part of the tire to be open with this air tunable tread patch. And in order to do that, the insert has this clamping force, this radial tension on the rim. So you can imagine if it was loose in there, it would just be floating around inside the tire and it wouldn't really be able to press against the sidewalls. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so what the shape, we designed it based on castings of a bunch of different tires. So I put a tire on a rim and then inflate it with plaster of Paris, basically, and cut off the tire, and I'd get this model of the tire shape. So we did that with a bunch of tires and compared the results and kind of went towards the center point of the most common mountain bike tire sizes. And then design the insert to be just a little wider. So it has to provide this pressure against the tire sidewalls at all times. And it doesn't need to be a lot, but it's got to be a little bit oversized. So it's the combination of the slight excess width relative to the tire, and then the diameter being smaller than the rim that allows it to create that lateral pressure and interact with the tire sidewalls, which provides all the benefits at the same time that it's not interfering with the tread area.
Okay. So it's the sort of almost compression fit against the lower part of the sidewall that's giving you a lot of the benefits that you're seeing.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Without that, you know, we give up a lot of the performance benefits. And it was really important to me that we not have one of those Achilles heels like a lot of the other inflation systems had. You know, I wanted it to be able to deliver all of the most desirable ride characteristics at the same time. And in order to do that, we have to have this kind of funny shape and that radial tension on the rim.
Yeah. Okay. And then, and talk us through a little bit about the material selection, because there's kind of infinite amounts of different foams and different materials out there. How did you end up where you are?
Yeah, totally. So the most basic test that I did early on was I hit the foam with a hammer into the concrete floor. And I know it's really crude, you know, now we have more sophisticated testing equipment, but it does tell you one really important thing, which is the foam going to be able to withstand a big impact? And most of the foams that I experimented with early on, they just pop. You know, you have to use a closed cell foam because the open cell just can't provide enough stiffness for the weight. So when closed cell is really the only option, in order to get, you know, enough stiffness to really provide the benefit, you have to worry about those cells popping, exploding. So when I'd strike them with a hammer, a lot of them would just go flat immediately. And that's typical of the EVA bond foams that, you know, we see those out there, and, the type of foam that we eventually landed on, it had this outstanding combination of low density for light weight, so we could fill that lower volume of the tire with excellent durability. So it can handle that hammer strike test without popping and deflating. You know, it'll return to its original shape and retain its stiffness. And there are only a handful of companies in the world that are manufacturing this type of foam with this exact method. And it took a long time for me to find it. So it was, you know, it's really just a process of testing samples after samples after samples until we found something that we thought would work.
Cool. Yeah. So a huge amount of development that's gone into the product then. It looks on the surface of it, it looks like a very simple thing, but clearly a lot of thought and a lot of time that's gone in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I realize from the outside, people sometimes say, oh, it's just a piece of foam. Like I could put a tire noodle or a pool noodle in there and it would do the same thing. But it's really not even close. You know, you can try it and see for yourself. But in order to get the right amount of tension, the right amount of damping, you know, we had to specially formulate this foam so that it has the right rebound characteristic. You know, we want it to not rebound immediately after a bump strike, but then it needs to have returned to its original shape when the wheel has rotated through a full cycle, so it's ready for the next bump.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you explain then a little bit about what Cushcore inserts are doing when they're in there? Because it's kind of three different, I don't know whether you'd call them phases, but three different modes in which they operate.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I was talking about with the sensitive top and then progressively more damping as the tire casing flexes more. So the insert, because it's pressing against the tire sidewalls at all times, it has an effect that increases the more the tire flexes. So the first phase is like just riding along at a normal load. So no bumps, just cruising along on the trail. And the tire casing is just deflected a little bit. And in that situation, it's very elastic. And that's what provides the low rolling resistance characteristics. It's actually less rolling resistance than a tubeless tire. And the lively feel that people like and people are used to. So it's really nice, sensitive, and supple tread patch, good at absorbing small bumps. And then as the phase two, as the tire starts to deflect more, is when the sidewalls are flexing, but the tread patch isn't actually bottoming out against the insert. It's not actually contacting the insert. And in that case, the insert begins to provide damping in compression, but especially on the rebound direction. So you can imagine that the tire sidewalls kind of bow out. And then as the tire flexes back to its original position, the Cushcore is pressing against the sidewalls, so it slows down the rebound motion, and that's how we get the additional control after a bump strike. The third phase is, I think this is what people actually think of most of the time when they think of Cushcore, This is when the tread patch collapses all the way onto the insert and bottoms out. And in that case, you know, the insert is preventing the tire from bottoming out against the rim, which is important. If the tire actually contacts the rim, we see a huge spike in the impact force. So we want to avoid that at all costs. And that the insert also provides added stiffness. So instead of just the air pressure resisting that impact force, it's now the air pressure plus the stiffness of the foam. And then finally, in the rebound stroke of the tire, if we just had a tire that was inflated with air and it's acting purely as a spring, almost all of the energy from an impact strike goes right back into the rider or back into the suspension. And with the foam there, because it's dissipating a lot of that force and not returning it to the rider, a large portion of that bump strike energy is just dissipated. It really is damping because it's dissipated in the form of heat within the insert. And on the trail, that means that the ride across the sharp obstacles is just much less harsh and it feels like a better suspension system.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And you guys have done quite a bit in kind of laboratory type environments and also out on the trail with measuring equipment and stuff. Can you tell us a bit about some of the testing that you've done? Because you've been quite thorough, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of testing equipment from the suspension business, Cruftmoto, and we've kind of utilized that and repurposed it to test the inserts. And the idea for me is that if we're going to make marketing claims, they have to be supported by scientific evidence. It drives me crazy when companies just make random claims and really don't have any support for them. So it's very important to me that we avoid that trap. And in order to prove out the marketing claims, we did a series of tests here in the lab. We contracted some outside testing companies, and we also did some data acquisition testing on the bike in the field. So some of the highlights from that series of tests were on a bike, on a real 1 hour downhill ride, over the course of the entire ride, the inserts will reduce the impact G-force transmitted to the rider by 12%.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't know if that number sounds like a little or a lot, but you know, relative to, for example, the changes that we might see from upgrading your suspension fork or improving your suspension settings, that's insane. 12% is a huge number, and any rider of any ability level will feel that immediately. Another way to look at that same data is that the inserts reduce the amount of travel used during the run. So what's happening here is the insert is controlling that rebound stroke, and that means that the suspension doesn't have to work as hard absorbing bumps. So if you slow down a bump strike and analyze it in slow motion, the suspension doesn't actually move when you hit the bump. It's really weird. It's operating on this delay, a pretty long leg, because of all that unsprung weight that has to be accelerated. So the first thing you see is that the tire will compress, and the tire compresses as soon as it hits the bump, and then the tire begins to rebound. And as the tire is rebounding, that's when the suspension starts to compress. So the suspension is really doing double duty. It's having to absorb the bump force and the tire rebound force at the same time. So by controlling that rebound force, the suspension doesn't have to work as hard and ends up using less travel for the same bump.
Wow. So how did you measure this? You did this on the trail?
Yeah, exactly. So we contracted an outside expert in data acquisition called Motion Industries. They fit their test bikes with sensors that measure the suspension travel. And I had a bunch of other sensors as well, accelerometers and also shock sensors. And these just measure what's happening with the suspension over the course of the entire ride. So they end up with a gigantic Excel data file, and then they can analyze that data to better understand what's happening with the suspension during the ride.
Okay, awesome. And yeah, it's 12% less kind of impact on the rider, basically.
Yeah, exactly. The guy that did the testing described it as less punches in a fight.
Yeah.
There's just less impact force being transmitted through to the rider.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's only going to help, I guess, from a kind of, especially for enduro kind of racing and those kind of days that are long, then fatigue on the body's got to be a lot less.
Yeah, exactly. It reduces fatigue and, you know, just as important for me anyway, it improves control. So you can go that much faster through a rough section without losing control, you know, and, yeah. And the bumps kind of melt away and it produces this calm and quiet ride that people really like.
Cool. That's a pretty impressive set of numbers. What about some of the other stuff? Cause there's a few other tests that you've done as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we sent the tires out to a company in Finland called Wheel Energy that does, tire testing for all of the major manufacturers. And they just measured rolling resistance of Cushcore setup versus a standard tubeless setup. And the Cushcore tire reduced rolling resistance by a little over 3%. And we believe that's due to the suspension benefits provided by Cushcore. It was on the rolling drum, the test machine had some obstacles welded onto it. So it's intended to simulate a real off-road riding condition.
Okay.
The other big part of Cushcore performance is that lateral stability. And the idea behind that is that we want good traction at the top of the tire, but good stability at the base. So you can throw it into corners and the tire won't roll and squirm. It just has a more stable and secure feel. So we measured that by creating a custom fixture for our suspension dynamometer and deflected the tire sideways. So we measured the increase in sidewall stiffness at about 35% and the reduction in tire roll at about 25%.
Okay. So you're effectively pushing against the side of the tire with a kind of instrumented device. Is that how you're doing it?
Yeah, exactly. So we fixed the rim in position. We just clamped the rim in position, inside the dyno cage, and then the actuator presses on the tire and deflects it sideways.
Okay. And can you explain how that, you know, 35% stiffness increase, how does that translate into performance on the trail, if that makes sense?
So most riders, the first thing that they notice with Cushcore is the cornering. You know, it makes the cornering feel fast and secure and just gives you a lot of confidence because you have a lot more traction and the tire is not doing this, this bend and deflect thing that's really obnoxious in corners where the tire starts to roll and then springs back. Every time that happens, it's unloading and loading the tire, which creates poor traction. In an ideal scenario, we want the tire to have the same amount of force throughout the entire corner, be very consistent. That's what provides us with best traction. And the insert helps doing that by preventing that roll and tuck and squirm in the front tire.
Okay, so it's literally like, yeah, it's keeping the tire in a more preferential condition or position while you're cornering that gives it a better feel.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps the tire in the right position, and it's also damping those little deflections inside the corner, you know, so that could be little bumps in the trail or obstacles, rocks and roots. And it doesn't react as violently to those things. So it's not going to rebound off of an obstacle in the corner the same way that it would with a normal air inflated tire. And that just helps keep the tire on the ground.
Yeah, cool. And then talk a little bit about the impact resistance side of things or the rim protection side. Have you done some stuff to look at kind of how much harder you can run into something before you're going to damage your rim?
Yeah, exactly. It provides a 50% reduction in impact force, which is a lot, but you know, it's not 100%. So it's still possible to get a flat. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you can flat Cushcore and you can destroy your rim. It just takes twice as much force to do it.
Okay.
We measured it with a drop tower. So it's a carriage on linear bearings that just it releases and drops down with gravity and smashes into a wheel that's fixed in position. And we mounted an accelerometer onto the carriage so we could measure how fast that carriage slows down. And that's a, directly related to how much impact force the rider would experience and the wheel experiences during the bump strike. And that the insert reduces it by about 50%.
Yeah. So you can get away with a lot more basically, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. You can either use the same tire pressure and hit stuff harder, or you can use a lower tire pressure and improve the feel and hit stuff the same way that you usually do. So it's kind of up to you, but either way, you're going to get more protection at the rim.
Yeah, and talking about lower tire pressures, I guess another reason why people struggle with lower pressures, not only that kind of impact resistance, but ripping tires off of rims in corners or tire burping. And I guess that's kind of gone effectively with the cush core in place.
Yeah. You know, the way that the cush core is seated inside the rim channel and pressing against the tire beads, it prevents them from pulling off the rim. So it will prevent burp, and you can't rip a tire off the rim. And for the same reason, you can ride it flat as well. So, you know, if you did have a flat, you can ride it home and the tire will stay on the rim.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Tell us a little bit then about some of the feedback you've had. I mean, obviously you've got some racers on it. It'd be interesting to hear what they've said, but also kind of what you've heard back from regular normal riders as well.
Well, you know, we only launched this product like not quite 2 years ago. So it's gone a long way in a short time. And it's because people love how it rides. So people start off skeptical, you know, it's just like with anything new. When tubeless was new, when full suspension was new, when the dropper seat posts were new, sometimes people put up a fight and they say, "Oh, it's not worth the extra weight," or "I don't need that thing." And over time, people actually start to try it, and then they like it, and gradually it takes over the market. And I think that's what's happening with cush core now. People are skeptical about it because of the added weight, but then when they try it, they realize that it doesn't feel slow. It doesn't feel like a downhill tire. It's fast, and you get all the suspension benefits and cornering benefits, and it's just worth it to most of our customers. When we can get people to try it, they stay on it. You know, so the major challenge for us is just getting the rider to try it for the first time. And early on, before anybody had heard of cush core, we sent a set to the EWS racer, Jared Graves. He's a very experienced, high-level racer, and he's very picky about his setup and tire setup in particular. And he had problems with his tires in the past, ruining races. So we thought he was a good candidate, and he was willing to try it, fortunately, and he loved it right away. So from there, it kind of filtered down through the EWS field, first to his teammate Curtis Keen, and then kind of throughout the rest of the field. And pretty soon the athletes were buying product from us. You know, we didn't have any sponsorship set up, but the riders just wanted to run it. So we were selling stuff direct to them. After EWS, sort of the same thing happened with the UCI World Cup downhill field. The riders discovered it, and then they wanted to run it. So now it's over half the field that's running it. We sponsor almost all the major teams. And, I think we're at a point now where the pro riders see the advantages. And, because the pro riders try it, the more everyday regular trail riders like me are more willing to try it. And, like I said before, if we can just get them to try it, they like it. That suspension benefit and the cornering benefits are obvious to any rider that tries it. And it's something that people like right away.
Yeah, I'd have to consider myself a very average rider. And I've done kind of two proper rides on them now. I think the first ride that I did was, it was quite sloppy. So it wasn't a particularly quick ride, but I was really impressed with, the damping, effectively the quietness of the bike through janky rock sections, and how the bike like maintained speed. It felt like the terrain was stealing less speed from the wheels when you were going through the really rough stuff.
Good.
Which was quite eye opening. And then literally just this morning, I managed to get out and it's dried up quite a bit. It was a pretty nice, like almost spring-like morning, and found some good turns to hit. So it's the first time I've been able to kind of push it in the corners.
Ah, nice.
And my cornering confidence, like the bike just felt calmer and felt more planted. I was pushing into turns that I know quite well, kind of expecting to be near the limit and not actually feeling like I was. So far, that's so awesome. Yeah, plenty more rides to be done, but I'm already starting to think that I'm not particularly worried about the weight, really. I mean, the bike is obviously a little bit heavy, but I don't really notice it. And I think the benefits for me at the minute, anyway, outweigh it. And I'm not the sort of person that really trashes wheels. I'm not generally one for putting big dents in stuff. But even so, I just, you know, we were going through some rock gardens today, and I felt I didn't really have to worry about damaging anything. I could kind of just let the bike go, and it definitely felt more composed. And yeah, I don't know, there's a confidence with it, I think.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Seriously. It's so encouraging for me to hear it when people get the product and appreciate it for what it's meant to be. You know, sometimes we get mistaken for just like a rim protection or flat prevention product. And, to me, those are like secondary benefits. It's what you were describing about the cornering confidence and that calm feel through the rough sections that's really the reason why KushCore exists. And I'm glad you felt that.
Yeah. It was pretty obvious, to be fair. It wasn't just kind of a small subtlety. I think if you took two sets of wheels with you on a ride and were able to swap between them, it would be pretty clear what the differences were. So yeah, it's cool. Like you say, there's a lot of other tire inserts out there now, and there's a huge range of different designs, different types of foam, different fitting methods. And I think a lot of people kind of perceive them all as equal and effectively the same thing, but people need to be careful, I suppose, when they're looking, because not everything's doing the same job. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. You know, it's weird. When we started, we didn't really have any competition, and now there are so many tire inserts. It's crazy. I swear there's a new one coming out every week.
It feels like that. Yeah.
But you know, KushCore is still the only tire insert that is specifically designed to improve ride quality. You know, all the other tire inserts are just about rim protection and flat prevention. And that's fine. You know, if that's what you want, there's a lot of those inserts that will serve that purpose at a lower price. And those might be fine for you. But if you're looking for those ride quality benefits, and KushCore is the only one that's going to do that for you. There's also some big differences in the shape and the material, you know. So KushCore is a molded product rather than an extruded or a machine foam. And that's important because that molded shape is what enables it to provide that lateral sidewall pressure without interfering with the tread patch. And that's really what delivers the design, the performance improvement. Also using that molded foam, it's a higher quality product, so it's a lot more durable. That hammer test I was telling you about earlier kind of tells us how much impact resistance the foam has and how long it will last. And I can tell you that many of the other products, the foam they're using is a one-time thing. It'll absorb one impact and pop and not return to its original shape. So they're more disposable, where KushCore is the only one that you actually see people moving from bike to bike.
Okay. And is it that difference in material that makes KushCore one of the more expensive options? Because it's towards the higher end of the tire insert pricing, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. The manufacturing cost for our foam is quite high. So we have to purchase these large aluminum molds in order to mold the product, right? And then the tooling cost is quite high, and it's also quite labor intensive to inject these cavities and make the product that way, versus you can imagine some of the others, they're made in bulk, like extruded, and then attached into a ring shape, like sometimes with zip ties or sometimes glued together. And doing it that way, you don't get the same level of foam quality, and there's no way to get that radial tension. So the Cushcore foam resists elongation really well. So it's very resilient in that area. So it can continue to provide that radial tension onto the rim over its entire lifetime. And the other materials can't do that.
Yeah. And I guess, like you said at the start of the podcast, really, it's hard to find that kind of improvement to the way your bike performs for less money spending it anywhere else. You know, new suspension forks, crazy money these days.
Yeah. I mean, $1,000 for a suspension fork, right? And you might see, I don't know, 2 to 5% reduction in impact force over the course of a ride, something like that. And Cushcore does 12% plus the travel reduction, you know, for $150. So in terms of the benefit for the money, I really don't think there's anything close.
So, and who do you think would benefit from Cushcore? Who do you see kind of being your users?
Well, you know, obviously we started out with these elite level racers, but that's not really what I had in mind when I designed the product. You know, I made it for me, and I just like to do regular trail riding, right? It's designed for anyone who wants to improve the feel and performance of their bike, you know? So if you enjoy the feel of going around a corner quickly or of cleaning a rock garden, and you enjoy those challenges and enjoy the benefits of a bike that performs better, then you will like Cushcore.
Cool. So everyone, basically, then.
Yeah, I think it's for everyone except for, you know, there are some riders who are really just all about the hill climbs. And if you're using mountain biking exclusively for aerobic exercise, then you might not see the benefit, you know. But if you enjoy riding the bike a bit harder and going around the corners quickly and slamming into stuff, then the benefits are clear and obvious.
Yeah, cool. Okay. One thing we will pick up on, there's a lot, if you Google kind of Cushcore, you'll find a lot of internet noise about them being pretty hard to fit. And I'll fess up here. I watched the videos on your website on how to fit them, decided I knew exactly what I was doing, went and tried to do it, failed miserably and sulked for a while. And then a week or so later, I rewatched the tips video that explains how to do it and realized what I've been doing wrong. And actually, as soon as I worked that out, it was fairly easy. And then I made the second mistake, was putting my tire on the wrong way around, which I didn't realize until I'd finished the installation.
We can't help you with that one, Chris.
No, that's just me being a complete idiot. I was like, oh man, right, okay. So I've gone through the process now of taking it off and reinstalling it, and it actually, second time around, once you know what you're doing, it was way easier. But can you give people, if they end up going and having a go with some Cushcore after this, can you give anyone tips to kind of make it nice and easy? Because it's actually not too bad once you know what you're doing.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I know that we hear a lot of that. Riders do it the first time and they maybe don't understand the technique and it's difficult, right? But then once you get it, once you learn the techniques, it's really not any harder than installing a standard tubeless tire. And I think, you know, most riders kind of figure it out, right? And as more people learn those techniques, they pass it along to their friends and it becomes easier. And again, it kind of reminds me of when tubeless was brand new, right? Like, people struggled with it and it was really frustrating. And then after a while, people kind of figured it out and then it was no big deal. So the two techniques or tricks that I think are really important that get overlooked are what we call the roll and tuck technique and dropping the bead. So the roll and tuck involves bringing the tire towards your body and pulling back the insert off the rim so you can tuck the bead in underneath the insert. Then when the insert snaps back into position, it holds the bead in place. So that's the technique that we use to put the tire bead in like 90% of the way. Uh-huh. And then at the end of the process, when you're getting ready to fit the last part of the bead, that's when the other trick comes into play. So you get that bead so it's a little bit tight, and then use your lever to press down directly on the tire bead and press it down into the drop center of the rim. if you get the bead down into the drop center of the rim all the way around, it frees up all this extra slack in the tire bead. So you'll be able to go back to the remaining portion and lever it on without struggling and without the need for a downhill lever.
Yeah. And it is, you're pushing at 90 degrees to the rim, aren't you? This is the problem I made. I was trying to sort of tuck it down rather than push it straight down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we recommend using a trash can or anything really that will support the wheel, because the tire needs to be able to flex freely when you're doing this. So we set it on a trash can and then use the tire lever to just press straight down and force that bead down into the drop center. And you'll know when you get it because you'll see this gap between the tire sidewall and the rim flange. And then you know for sure that the bead is in the drop center. And you just kind of go around the wheel, repeating that process until you see the gap all the way around the wheel. And then you're ready to finish it off.
Yeah, perfect. And this is a garbage can with the lid removed, right? So you've just got the disc or the cassette can sit kind of in the hole. And the
exactly. It's just, yeah, it's just working as a wheel stand. That the trash can just happened to be the perfect shape, but you can use anything handy, you know, a cardboard box or whatever.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, definitely those tricks. And they're on your website, so people should definitely check that out because it will save a lot of swearing in the garage for sure. Cool. All right. So after all of that, then what's next for Cushcore? Are there more plans? Do you think there's more progress to be made in the world of kind of tire suspension and inserts?
So Cushcore is currently working on several new products. We have a gravel model designed for 700C by 38-ish tires, and that's going to be coming out in about a month. Also an XC model, which is an ultra-lightweight version of the original Cushcore. That's due out in about a month. That's going to be available for both 27.5 and 29. We're also releasing an installation tool. We call it the bead dropper, and the idea behind this is it makes that step that I was just describing a lot easier. So it allows you to put a lot more force into the tool, so you can press that bead down, and even if you know, it's glued in place from the ceiling or whatever, you'll be able to snap the bead off and get it in the right position.
Okay. So, and those lighter, you call it a cross-country insert, could I use, what if I decided I wanted to have that lighter weight insert but put it in my enduro bike, for example? What are there any upsides to that, or are there some downsides?
Yeah, there are some downsides, you know. So we call it the cross-country version because it was designed for cross-country riding primarily, and it's a lot lighter, but you know, you can't give up all that weight and material and get the same performance. It just doesn't work that way. You know, there's always going to be a compromise. So if you're an enduro rider and you're concerned with performance, the pro model, the original model, is probably the best fit. You know, that's what's going to give you the maximum suspension benefits and the maximum cornering benefits. The XC model is designed for narrower tires and riders who are not riding as aggressively. And for that application, it's perfectly appropriate. But, you know, for the guys who are doing more trail and especially enduro riding, the pro model is usually the better choice.
Okay. And that's because it's wider, has a higher pressure, a higher contact pressure with the sidewalls, that sort of stuff.
That's right. Yeah, the volume is just much larger, which is why it weighs more. But because mm-hmm. of that larger volume, it's able to absorb and dissipate a lot more energy. It is able to provide a lot more sidewall pressure, so more sidewall stability and less tire roll. And also because it's thicker, it can provide more radial tension on the rim, which just adds to that security and damping feel.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. We're getting pretty close to the end of our time. We've got our three questions that we ask all our guests, so we'll hit those up if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
So if our listeners had £150, which is about $200 to improve their performance on a bike, what should they spend it on? I'm guessing you're going to say Cushcore, but
yeah. Well, I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer, right? But regardless of my position, I really do think it's true that the Cushcore is the easy winner here. You know, like in the example we were talking about before, upgrades to your suspension would provide a relatively small improvement to how the rider experiences the ride, Whereas Kushcore for $150 creates this dramatic transformation. And the, you know, the reduction in travel usage is something that you wouldn't see from upgrading your frame or your fork or your shock. So it essentially makes a bike feel or ride like a bike that has more travel, but without the negative side effects. So a 150 millimeter travel bike can feel like a bike that's has 175 millimeters of travel, but without the extra pedal bob. So you have the same efficiency, just a lot better suspension. And, you know, being able to provide that for $150, I mean, nothing else comes close.
Yeah, I think that's fair comment. I don't think I've felt as big a difference to my bike with anything else that I've fitted over the last few years. I've felt that kind of size difference maybe going from 27.5 to 29. Mm-hmm. And going from a kind of older, shorter geometry to something a bit longer that suits me a bit better.
Yeah.
But those are all kind of big dollar changes. So, yeah, I would tend to agree, to be fair. All right. Second question. If you could wind back the clock and sit down with yourself at the age of 16, what advice would you give him?
That's a tough one. You know, I think I might tell myself to get out of the high school that I was studying at the time and go find a school that focuses more on science and engineering.
Okay.
Where I was studying, it was more humanities based, and I ended up originally attending a college that was a more humanities based liberal arts college. And I kind of had to learn later in life that that didn't provide a lot of real benefit to my career, and I'm much more interested in engineering. And I guess I just didn't recognize that at the time, because those subjects weren't as important to the educational community I was in at the time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, tricky. I guess if you've not been exposed to it, then you don't know it kind of exists, it's hard to go find it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. And then the final question: if you could have a day's coaching with anyone, past or present, who would it be, and what would you want to learn from them?
So that's a tough one. I actually don't have an individual that I would name for that, but I would love to spend a day with the suspension design department at KYB, or one of the major suspension manufacturers, and understand why they arrived at the design choices they did. So the OEMs are typically really tight-lipped about their development and the reason for their design choices. And they, you know, they know what they're doing for the most part. So I would love to get an inside line on that and understand why they design things the way they do. And from that, come to a better understanding of how I can improve the suspension.
Yeah. Do you think it's because they have to engineer to a price, or?
Absolutely. Certainly that's a big part of it, you know, and some of these companies offer high level, like they call them A-kit suspensions, where they're available aftermarket at a much higher price, and they do things different, you know, no surprise. So in the OEMs, certainly they're manufacturing for a price point, and they have to cut some corners to do that. But they're still trying to get the maximum performance they can for a given budget. And they, you know, they choose to design their suspensions in a particular way, 'cause there's a lot of options out there, and it may be that they're targeting towards a particular type of rider. They want it to perform well in one type of terrain instead of another, and that leads them to the overall design architecture of the suspension. And that's just a side of it that I don't get to see very much.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get behind those walls and find out what goes on. Cool. All right. Well, we're through all of our questions. If people want to find out a bit more about the product, where can they find you?
Our website is www.kushcore.com, and you'll find all the product information, including all of the test results and the background behind how we conducted those tests. So, backing up our marketing claims, as I said before. You can also purchase the product directly from the website, and it's available at many dealers around the country and most major U.S. and a UK distributor, Aisin. So okay. It's available worldwide.
Perfect. And what about social media? Is that, are you on Instagram or?
Yeah, we have an Instagram page and a Facebook page, both under the tag KushCore.
All right. Perfect. We'll put all those links in the show notes over on our website if people want to go there to find them. But yeah, thanks a lot for your time. It's been really interesting chatting and finding out a bit more about how you ended up where you did with the product. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out and spending some more time on it for sure.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. I really appreciate the opportunity and it was nice talking with you.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
Right. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening and learning a bit more about KushCore and what it does beyond just reducing the risk of punches and damaging a rim. If you want to get your hands on a set or to find out more, then just head to KushCore.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, subscribe to the podcast so you get all of our episodes delivered straight to your device. And if you fancy representing us, then head to downtimepodcast.com/shop. You can grab yourself a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatshirt or a mug and help spread the word. Oh, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show too. Right, we've got another awesome episode coming up soon, but until then, get out and ride.